build your life, and we build together our church upon a rock. Building upon a rock is synonymous with acting upon the Word of God, doing the Word of God, not just listening to it, doing it. Everybody say doing it. So he said, I liken this person who built his house on a rock. When the rains descended and the floods came, he didn't say if, and the winds came, blew upon, beat upon the house, it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock, the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, talking about Jesus' words, Jesus' teachings, and does not do them, will be likened to a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. I invite you to look at the parallel account in Luke. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49, it says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. This is Jesus talking. He is like a man building his house against a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Synonymous or analogous with the word. And when the floods arose, he didn't say if, he said when. When the floods arose, the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he who heard and did nothing. In 20 years, there's been a lot of hearing of messages. You venture to say thousands of messages and probably countless number of series that we've taught. But he says, did nothing is like a man who's built his house upon the earth without a foundation. Against the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, our Lord Jesus is telling us, I've got notes down here at the bottom, you can see today, three responses. He expects three responses from us, his followers. Number one, they should listen carefully and closely to his words so that they truly hear them. Everybody say amen to that. Number two, they should work to understand those words to the best of their ability. That means the words of Jesus should take priority and precedence over every other thing you hear. Okay? And then number three, we should faithfully act on those words that we come to understand. So church is not just listening. It's also hearing and doing and acting on the word. Going home with a plan. What am I supposed to do with what I heard? Amen? All right. And then we must also remember, Jesus is also telling us and promising us that we as born again believers and Christ followers, when we act upon the word, when we do the word, we will withstand the storms of life. Isn't that good? Because Jesus never said the storms might come or if they don't come. He said when they do come. So how many of you have experienced the storms of life? This is say in the last 20-year period. Some of you are not 20 years old yet, so you don't understand what I'm talking about. But in the last 20 years, how many of you have experienced the storms of life? So when, it's not an if, it's a when. But when they do come, you got to make sure your house, your individual Christian life, is built upon the rock. What is the rock? The word and you doing and practicing that word. That's what's going to keep us safe for another 20 years or more. Okay? We also remember that to call someone Lord, because he said in Luke there, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? He said when you call someone Lord is to acknowledge that person's authority. Jesus is Lord, or you say it this way, Jesus is my Lord, is the greatest confession you could make from your own heart and your own mouth. Amen. That we'll ever make, Jesus is Lord. Now let's talk about this lordship principle, because there's some things out there that we need to clarify and make sure that we understand. We're not to forget who's Lord of your life. In the next 20 years, or however Jesus tarries his coming back for us, we can't wait. We have to work for our Lord. Now, friends, family, and partners, you know, when we say, talk about God and talk about Jesus, he has a kingdom that he wants us to operate in. Everybody say, I have a kingdom that Jesus and my Father God wants me to operate in. Now, some of us haven't operated in a while, but we invite you to operate in God's kingdom. Now, part of it's saying and doing, the next slide, guys, saying and doing this, Matthew 6:33, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. What? The kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What's the condition? Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Now, the New King James Version says, but seek first, same as above all else, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What things? Things that you need. Because there's too many Christians worried about clothes, bills, food, gas prices, economy, politics. When you're in the government of God, you're in the highest kingdom. That's why he said, make that your priority. Make that your purpose. Make that what you seek. Amen? So to have things added unto us, we must understand the principle of lordship. Before anyone gains access to God's kingdom, they must be born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. And he said, unless you be born again, born spiritually born again, you cannot see the kingdom. So Jesus died for the world to make the way of salvation through his death on the cross. But his death, burial on a cross, and his resurrection salvation made salvation free. Everybody say salvation free. Salvation is free, but it will cost you. We always say salvation is free, but to follow Jesus will cost you. What will it cost you? What will it cost me, Pastor? It will cost you your life. You have to give up your way of living and allow Jesus to be Lord. Now, we always say there's a distinction between Savior, because Savior, we want Jesus to save us from our sins. How many are receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? But say that Lord is something, a principle we need to get down as we go the next 20 years. Now, in Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, you confess Jesus as Lord. And you believe in your heart that God, and we're going to talk about it next month, God sacrificed his son Jesus on the cross. He was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day, and he's alive, and he is Lord. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're doing something. It's bigger than just flippant words, because we said that Savior refers to what Jesus did. Lord is who Jesus is. Lord is master, ruler, owner, controller. Some translations say he's the one who decides, or he's the one who tells you what to do. So you have to give up your life because he gave you his life and he gave you eternal life. Amen? Everybody good? And so when we say confess in Romans 10:9-9, it means to covenant. We make a covenant with God. Everybody say, I have a covenant with God. So when we covenant, we confess Jesus, Lord, we're making a covenant with our mouths that Jesus is our Lord. The word Lord also means supreme in authority. Amen. Means that he owns you. He rules you. He's the one who decides for you. Amen. He's the one who tells me what to do. We always say every day, when you say, Jesus, I'm yours to command and control. I got two amens, and they were very low. When Jesus is the word, so when we accept Jesus as our Lord, we're giving him the word supreme authority, first place, first priority over our lives. We're saying the word of God, which was the written word, and the living God, they're one. So Jesus is the word made flesh. So we're saying Jesus in the word is first place, first priority, final authority. That means you check in with Jesus every day. Everything you decide, Lord, or what does the word say? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the word settles all arguments, opinions, disputes, and decisions. Some of us think salvation is a one-time experience. It's not. It operates all the time. Salvation manifests itself in healing, prosperity, restoration, our relationships. When we make a covenant with God in his word, it's supreme authority, we will be saved from all kinds of troubles. Now, you might think, well, that's really simple, Pastor, but this is really profound in the years to come. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life and the Lord of your marriage and the Lord of your family, it makes a difference. Hallelujah. So some other truths, next slide, guys, that we need to be wise and remember for the years and decades to come. In James chapter 1, it says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For any one of you is a hearer of the word and not a doer. In other words, James is telling us and inviting us, don't be just an auditor. Don't just be, look at the material. And it's so it means to look at the word with great expectation when you outline it or lay against your life. Amen. He said, be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he said he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now, when you get older, you find things on your face or on your body, and you look at them in the mirror. And how many of you know, most of us know, okay, I got to do something about that. Me, I'm turning 60 years old this year, but you know, sometimes these ingrown hairs get the best of me, but I'm trying to stay off the gray as much as I can, keep it out. But those little white hairs start coming up. When you see them in the mirror, you want to do something about it. Somebody say praise the Lord. I know I'm not the only one. So if you're a hearer and don't do it, you're like a person who's observing himself in a mirror, and you go away and you forget. what the Holy Spirit was showing you, what the Holy Spirit was nudging your heart about while you were in church. He said, but you forget what kind of person you were. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he calls the word a mirror. He calls the word a perfect law of liberty and continues in it. That means the Sunday sermon doesn't just drop and flop by Sunday afternoon or Monday morning. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you and developing you in your Monday through Saturday week. He said, but if you look into the perfect law of liberty and continue it, and not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So he calls it work. Or a doer of the word. In other words, you work the word. The word that you hear in church, you work it. Come on now. You let it work in you from Monday through Saturday. Or for some of you, through Tuesday, because we're coming back Wednesday. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Say, doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, in the King James, it says he will be blessed in his deeds. So James is telling us by the Holy Spirit that when we practice the word, when we do the word, when we act on the word, and don't forget to do it, we're going to be blessed in what we're doing. Blessed just simply means that we have the covenant of God that overrides the curse. We have the anointing through which divine favor flows. We have the power to produce. Everybody say, I'm blessed. And so James is telling us we'll be blessed in our doing. To simply listen to the word has no lasting value. Because like I said, there's thousands of sermons that have been taught and preached over 20 years. Probably many more that you've listened to online or by video or in person at a conference or something. And the question still remains, what have you done with what you heard? What are you doing with the word that you've been taught? Hallelujah. So just listening to it by itself has no lasting value. We must hear the word of God, open our Bibles, and intend and purpose to do what it says. See, our Bibles, our Bible apps, is more than something we carry to church or open at home occasionally. It's our invitation. It's our expectation to follow God's heart, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. What's another one? James, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now let's illustrate this for a minute. To stand, the word stand means to place yourself in a stationary position in front of someone in order to block them. Sometimes we think, you know, as we go forward, because this person was elected, or because this economy is bad, because this situation is here, because this job I have, because this condition I have in my body, that you think that's going to block you or stop you. But God is saying through Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man will be able to stand in a stationary position in front of you and block your progress and impede your prosperity and block your blessings. And he says, I will never leave you. King James says, fail you. Now, Jesus, the Lord is telling us this morning. I will never fail you. Leave you. Those two words, it means to be unsuccessful in getting to a desired end. What is your desire to end? What is the Lord's desire in for us? Does he want us to live and struggle 20 years? Does he want us to stay sick the next 20 years? Does he want us to have marriages that are really poor and unloving the next 20 years? Does he want us to be down and out, depressed, discouraged the next 20 years? See, he said, I will never. This is God talking of Joshua. Moses had just died, and he's telling Joshua, I will. Not I might. I will never fail you. I will never leave you. That means I will never be unsuccessful in getting you to a desired end. Unsuccessful in getting someone to a desired end. He said, I can get you to where you need to be. He said, I will never forsake you. It means to abandon, to desert, to denounce, or take his heart away from you. In other words, leaving and failing is like physical or natural, but forsaking is spiritual or take his heart away from you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, y'all. Come on, thank God for that. He said, I won't do it. And he told us, be strong and of a good courage, for this people shall divide an inheritance in the land which I swore the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to all the law which is of Moses, with my servant commanding. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, he's talking about the word of God. At that time, there's only 5, maybe 6 books of the Bible written. And he's telling, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that's according therein, written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So he says, the word of God's got to be in your mouth. How many times? Day and night. How's God going to take us to the next level in the next 20 years and the levels after that? We got to make the word of God a priority. We got to keep it in our mouth day and night. Now, you meditate it, it gets in your heart. But then God's able to, by the Holy Spirit, to get it into your life. The reason you meditate the word is to enlarge it and get revelation in your heart, so then you could walk it out and manifest it in your life. Praise the Lord. So it's not just to get the word in you, but it's to get the word out of you. Take time to meditate. I know they got a lot of good shows and a lot of good movies coming on. A lot of things happen on social media. The news always wants to put breaking news in front of you. But you got to put the word of God in your mouth day and night. You got to put it in your mouth, so you got to be speaking it day and night into your ears, getting it into your heart, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you got to get the word of God released into your life and get it out in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he's telling us, if we fail, we can't blame others. But more importantly, if we fail as a Christian or as a church, we can't blame God. He says, I'll never leave you, fail you, or forsake you. Nobody will be able to stand for it. If you stay with me, if you stay with my word, nobody will be able to stand in front of you in a stationary position and block you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. And he says, he's told Joshua, the Lord was, that to be successful, you're going to need to meditate in the word. That means repeatedly read it, feed it, reflect it, remember the word constantly. You cooking dinner, what does the word say? You're thinking about this, what does the word say? When you're eating dinner, what does the word say? He told us that's how we pass our faith on to our children, which we need to do. When you're at the house, not just having Bible study. No, that's kind of hard because everybody's busy and everybody's time. But when you're eating, sitting around the table in the morning, you should be saying what the word says. You should be transferring your faith to your children and to your grandchildren. So that's how you pass it on. It's not saying everybody come around the table and sit down. We're going to have a Bible study. No, it's kind of hard to do that today. But when you're at the house, because you got the word in your mouth all the time, it's coming out of your mouth all the time. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. And he said, when you do this, you'll make your way prosperous. Prosperous is not money per se here. He's meaning to push forward and break out. Everybody say push forward and break out. So God promises that when we act on the word, that he will give us the strength to push forward and break out of where we used to be to where we need to be. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and financially. Now, acting on the word produces forward momentum. Jeremiah chapter 7, if you could turn to the next slide, guys. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 says, but this is what I commanded them, saying. Now, look at this. God is always talking to different generations and different people and at different stages and situations in the Bible. And he says, obey my voice and I will be your God. And you will be my people and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you. Well, that's just basically doing the Bible, practicing the word. And he says that it may be well with you. Look what he says. They be my people that commanded, that made me well with you. And yet, what did they do? They did not obey. And or incline their ear. In other words, they stopped listening to the word. They stopped listening to God. They stopped listening to what was coming on at church. They tuned it out. They turned and looked and listened to something else. And he says, but follow the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and they went backwards and not forwards. Now, I've talked to many people in this room over the years, not yesterday, not this past week, so I'm not thinking about you, but I'm thinking about the situations that come up. And some people say, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know why I'm still struggling with this. We all have to examine, do I want to obey and listen to the word and submit to the word and do the word? Because it either gives us momentum or it causes us to go backwards instead of forward. Hallelujah. I told you about the time when I was, many of you probably remember, when I was an associate pastor, an assistant pastor, and I was sitting here right in front here where our good brother Josh is sitting right here, standing right here. And I was sitting there not paying attention and not taking notes and not being intentional. Everybody said, you got to be intentional. So if you're going to put the word first place and final priority in your life, you got to be intentional. That means I'm coming to church not to hear Pastor Ed. I'm coming to church to hear the word of God. I'm coming here to hear not a word of man, but the word of God as it is in truth. Amen. So I'm treating the God's word as God talking directly to me. God's talking to me. So if God's talking to me, I'm going to take notes. And so the Holy Spirit got on me. You're not taking any notes. What happened? He stirred me up and charged me up. He said, you're trying to follow your own counsels by saying, I know that. I heard that. I understand that. But there's an old wise proverb that says the faintest of ink is better than the best memory. When I go to conferences, I take notes. When I'm watching ministry online, I take notes. I got so many notebooks at home, I got notes all the way back, years. I write down my sermon. Why? Because that's notes. I've got notes in my phone back to 2017. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Intentional. Intentional to make the word a first place and final authority. I never wanted to walk out of service and say, that was a good service. But then about 2 days later, 3 days later, I forgot everything that was said. That's not being intentional. To act on the word, that means what the word I hear, the Holy Spirit nudges my heart during the service. I make a note of it. And I go back and look at it. And it's okay to check out a service mentally, so to speak, because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. And he's telling you, you need to make an adjustment in this area. You need to make this an assignment for your week this week. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because I was scrolling through all the sermons. You know, all the sermons. Some of the sermon messages. And I said, wow. And then I got a call from somebody. This is my brother, actually, younger brother. And he said, I was driving a car with somebody. My phone actually went to a sermon that you preached in 2019 about the Lord is my keeper, Psalms 121. And the guy riding in the car with me, he said, who is that? Is that a TV preacher? He said, no, that's my brother. and so he said, man, that's pretty good. So it just reaffirmed that we need to be intentional about hearing God and doing his word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So not listening to and forgetting to obey the word of God and act on the word causes us to go backwards and not forwards. Now, we don't want to show hands, but how many of you think that in some seasons of your life over the last 20 years, you went backwards? I invite you to listen to what I'm saying this morning by the Holy Spirit through the Word to keep us from going backwards. We don't need a whole church full of people going backwards because they didn't listen and they didn't learn to act on the Word in church. It's not just a good message. It is an assignment from heaven. Now, you might not always like the voice or the vessel the word of God comes through, but listen to the word. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And Proverbs 1:30. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30. They would not none of my counsel and despise every rebuke. Because see, the word of God is packaged for your profitable living. It says in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, it's profitable for doctrine, for rebuke, reproof, correction, and instruction. What are you coming to church to hear? The word of God. What meets most of our needs as human beings? The word of God. That's the most important thing for every need that you have. The word of God. Everybody say the word of God. And so he said in Proverbs, they said, they would none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they will eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with the be filled to the full with their own fancies. I've found in 20 years, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, when we eat the fruit of our own way, it's always bitter. It's always bad. When we don't listen to the word of God and we take our own counsel, our own ways, we put aside what does the word say and we do what we think we need to do. We eat the fruit of our own ways. It becomes bitter. It becomes bad. Not better. God wants things better for us. God wants things bigger for us. God wants things broader and brighter for us in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at this in Isaiah 48, 17 through 18. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. In other words, he's going to teach you how to get ahead and leadeth you in the way that you should go. And then you can hear the groan, the heartbeat of God. Oh, 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 that you would have heeded my commandments. If you would have heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Then that word righteousness is the word, Hebrew word for prosperity. Your prosperity would have been like the waves of the sea. Oh, if you'd have just listened to my word. Oh, if you'd have put the word in into practice. If you'd have acted upon the word. Oh, if you'd have listened to it with an intention to do it. Now, let me turn to Psalms 81. Let me get there real quick. Y'all getting something out of this morning? We can't treat church the same like we did the last 20 years. Psalms 81, verse 8. It says here, verse 8 through 13. Hear, O my people. He's talking to us. I will admonish you, O Israel, O TWCC. If you will listen to me, there shall be no more foreign gods among you. You shall not worship any foreign gods. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But, he says, my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would have listened to me. That triumphant word Christian Israel here, but we just replace it with us, would walk in my ways. This issue of forgetfulness, this issue of not acting upon the word or failing to remember to act on the word has been a problem throughout the whole Bible. And you see God addressing this issue over and over again from the rainbow with the flood, remember, to when Joshua and them crossed the River Jordan and God delivered them. He had each man from one of the 12 tribes to bring a stone up and says, remember, build a memorial. In the New Testament, what does he say? Every first Sunday of the month, as you drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, do what? Do it in remembrance of me. We forget, and the devil will make us too busy and too bothered, and he'll cause us to forget. I noticed also that in the Word of God, that James, Paul, Peter, John never addressed the issue of not knowing how to do the Word. He never addressed it. But throughout the Word, he says, you got to stir up your heart by way of remembrance. You got to remember. You got to remember what? To act on the word. And I've never in 20 years found it difficult to do the word once you find out and hear that word. Some people say, well, how? How do I do it? Well, we just taught a whole message in January that Jesus is the way, but he introduced the how, the Holy Spirit. Everybody received the Holy Spirit should know how to act upon the word. Amen. And so we never have an issue with knowing how to do the word, how to act on the word. Why don't we have that issue? these guys. The first reason is we have a new nature. We've been born again. Everybody say, I've been born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become what? So you're brand new. Now think of yourself, when you're brand new with a new baby in Christ, you don't have any birth defects. You don't have any spiritual birth defects. And that means you don't have any retardation, any dysfunction, any disability in your newborn, recreated human spirit. You have the life of God in you. You have the nature of God in you. You have the ability of God in you. You have Jesus, the DNA of Jesus and the Father God inside of you. So if you got the DNA of God, you have perfection inside of you. That means you can do what he says you can do. You can have what he says you can have. So we can't make excuses. I can't do it. I can't do it. No, you can do it. Because God created you the power, the capacity, and the capability to do it. Second reason you can't say, I don't know how to do the word, is because of what? The Holy Spirit. He's inside of us. When you receive Jesus, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But he's inside of you. He's not a visitor. He's not a hotel guest that's going to check out in the morning. No, the Holy Spirit is there forever. That means you got to partner up with him. You got to get real close to the Holy Spirit. You got to get to know the helper on the inside of you. He is inside of you to help you, to counsel you, to coach you, to reveal truth to you. Now, I'm not going to go through the scriptures because of time. And then third, look, you have had a church. We've had a church for 20 years. Gathered and assembled at Triumph Ward Christian Center. We launched out on January 2nd, so we're over 20 years. Under the authorization of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord said, you're the seventh choice. That was really encouraging a little bit, but I was encouraged. And the Lord said, the other six have turned me down. You're next. Well, Pastor Cynthia and I have been hanging in there for 20-some years. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We've been holding on to his unchanging hand for 20 years. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. And so he's given us that assignment. He's called us and commissioned us to be the Word Church, a Holy Spirit Church, to teach people to be triumphant in Christ and victorious and to live victorious in life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How many agree with that vision? And so we are the pillar and ground of the church. So the church is where you gather and assemble weekly, and many times twice or three times a week. Church is a big deal. Church is a very important thing. What do you get here? Instruction, impartation. It's hard to get it online. Illumination, correction, protection, perfection, and direction from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. How many of you thank God for that? Come on, let's stand to our feet today. Thank you, Jesus.